You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, May the 20th, and Iggy visiting the Pistons today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the offseason today. We're going to run down the weekend action in the NBA playoffs, and I'm also going to share some audio with you guys from the combine of Ignas Brazdeikis, because according to Iggy of Michigan, he's going to be working out with the Pistons today. We're also going to talk about him a little bit as a draft prospect as well. We are going to wrap a little bit about some draft content that I have planned later on as well, a semi-regular feature of draft profiles. But first, I'm going to give you a list of six players that we will not be profiling, because these are guys that in my mind, in my prediction, the Pistons will not be picking at number 15 if they stay there. And they're guys that are rumored to be first-round picks. So that'll come later on. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Today's show, by the way, is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that. Get rewarded. And speaking of hotels.com, a big week for your boy of travel. If you listen to the show, you might know that I was in Las Vegas for last weekend, and then this past weekend I was in Chicago, but both of those bled into the week as well. Not a lot of time in Michigan in between, so I'm tired. I got back late Saturday night and got up early and drove down to Toledo to cover some Mudhens baseball and talk to Jake Rogers, the new catcher for the AAA Detroit Tigers baseball team, and check out a story on him in Detroit, in the Detroit News on Monday, and also on DetNews.com. We appreciate you guys following all that. And when I was in Chicago for the draft combine, did stories for the news on Aubrey Dawkins of Michigan, who was at the G League Elite Combine. Also profiled Brian Bowen. Check that one up out in the Detroit News on Saturday, and also on the website as well. Did my five up and five down players from the combine. Check out one Michigan player up and one Michigan player down. By the way, check that one out there. Wrote a story for the Lincoln Journal Star about Isaiah Roby, a possible first-round candidate and possible returner to Fred Hoiberg and Nebraska if he decides to do that by May 29th. Looking unlikely there, by the way. And also wrote a story for the Baltimore Sun on Bruno Fernando of Maryland. So your boy was busy last week, but more busyness coming up on the podcast in addition to all the draft stuff we have cooked up for you. We're doing the biggest Pistons fan in the world contest. That's going to be coming up. 12 guys picked out for that. Guys, look for an email over the next day or so. We'll get started doing those probably later this week, and looking forward to it. It's going to be a single elimination trivia contest. You can listen along and see if you would have won that and rue the day that you didn't sign up and see if our experts can move on, and we'll crown the biggest Pistons fan in the world, send them a t-shirt, and looking forward to seeing how that goes. But NBA playoffs-wise, on Sunday night, the Raptors got the win at home, 118-112 in double overtime against the Milwaukee Bucks, getting Toronto's first win in the series, still trailing Milwaukee 2-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm happy about the result. However you feel about these teams, at least we are getting a conference finals that might become worth watching at some point. And I know if you watched Game 3, it sounded like it was a real good one. It sounds like you enjoyed it. I'll be watching Game 4 closely because of the 2-1 score into this series, because I will be honest, I did not watch Game 3. I'm just like the rest of the world in that I watched the Game of Thrones series finale as well. A great show, maybe not a great last season to the show, but we should just be saying that above all else, that this was a great show, an achievement in television, and try not to be too picky about your art. And don't be too picky about your podcasts either, by the way. But in the TV event that I didn't watch, that was, like I said, apparently very good, Kawhi Leonard, a couple of big baskets late in this one, finishes with 36 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. Also for Toronto, 25 points and 11 rebounds. for Pascal Siakam, and 19 points off the bench for Norman Powell there. The Bucks were led by 24 points from George Hill and 20 for Malcolm Brogdon off the bench. Pretty much abandoned by the Stars, which is was admitted afterward by Chris Middleton, so it's not just me making that up by looking at the box score. A very ugly box score, by the way. And credit to Nick Nurse. Apparently he found some sort of formula to derail the Bucks a little bit. I'm not of the opinion that this is going to be a long series, and this seems to be a bit of a blip in the radar, especially when you look at some of these numbers that one might believe, one might surmise they probably will not be repeated by some of these guys. Most specifically, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 12 points in a double overtime Eastern Conference Finals game, along with 23 rebounds. He was 5 of 16 from the field. I mean, Giannis, two overtimes, 12 points. Part of the deal with having the belt in the NBA as the best player, the reigning best basketball player in the world, is you cannot score 12 points in a double overtime playoff loss. Oh my, I'd rue the day and of Skip Bayless the day after LeBron had a 12-point performance in a double overtime playoff game. I'll look it up. Maybe that has happened. But 9 points for Chris Middleton as he nears his, you know, max extension that he's probably going to be coming from the Milwaukee Bucks, to the rue of some of the fans out there, I know. 11 points for Eric Bledsoe in the loss as well. Gross for those guys. Those three combined for 11 of 49 from the field, 2 of 15 from three. That is not gone dead. And the series will continue at 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Excited to watch that one. Finally, a conference finals game that will be fun to watch for those of us who have not much invested into these conference finals. But tonight, speaking of which, going out west, Warriors at Portland for a 9 o'clock game on ESPN. The sweep is in the air, even without Kevin Durant. Warriors, 3.5-point favorites on the road without their best player. And most of that is because of, well, the dominance that Golden State has shown, but also give some credit to the pectoral injury for Damian Lillard. We know that Iguodala is also hurt for Golden State, but it appears to be only a matter of time there. We'll see if it's a sweep or a gentleman's sweep there. If Portland's able to get a win in game four at home, I would expect that they will not be going back to Portland, even if they do get that. Well, even if they get the win, I don't think they're going back to Portland for game six. I think this one ends sometime either tonight or the following game there. So up next, we're going to be, speaking of Iggy with Iguodala, let's talk about Ignas Brazdeikis of the Michigan Wolverines. He's headed to the Palace today, and that's my report, by the way. I had the original report to that, and that was coming straight from Iggy himself. But you can get the Locked On Pistons podcast on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to introduce some of the draft content that we're going to have coming up, what you can expect there. And also today, a taste. I'm going to give you 6 players that the Pistons won't draft. At number 15, you might be surprised by some of them, but today's show is brought to you also by Untuck It. Dads come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, short, slim, relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual, untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where Untuck It comes in. Untuck It is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off. As I mentioned, I was at the NBA Draft Combine on Thursday and Friday, and there I had a chance to be part of a small group of journalists, including some young journalists from the Michigan Daily that you might hear in this clip, talking to Iggy Brazdeikis of the Michigan Wolverines, who apparently has an announcement coming soon about his draft intentions. I'll give you one guess about what that announcement will be, but here's Iggy from Chicago.
I feel like they got a good feel of who I am, the person I am, you know. It doesn't. I don't change for certain situations. I'm always going to be myself, regardless of where I'm at. So I just enjoyed it. You know, it was fun talking about yourself because they wanted to know about you, and I didn't feel like I had to stop talking. So it was kind of fun.
Did you get asked any interesting questions?
I did. There were a few questions for sure. One of them was, what would you do if you're locked in a car and you had a hammer? So I assumed that the car was locked and I couldn't get out. So I smashed the window, but apparently you couldn't lock it. It's as simple as that. So I was like, damn, got me on that one. But yeah. And they also asked me what the best place to go out in is in Ann Arbor. So that was a little bit.
What's your answer?
I say.
Library.
What did you say?
Library.
Library, yeah, there you go. The study lounge.
That's it. They'll all think that's the library, so it works.
You know what I'm talking about. I don't think they know what I'm talking about.
I do. Very well. Is it cool to be here? You know, kind of a culmination of a dream I assume you've had for a really long time.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I'm enjoying this so much. It's been my dream to play in the NBA, and I think I put myself in a great position to do that. And, you know, now seeing Coach Beilein leaving to the NBA, it's kind of me, Charles, Jordan, like Coach Beilein. It feels like we all just kind of took that step together. So it's a good family feeling in a way.
Do you talk to Charles, Jordan, John and all?
Yeah, we talked. Well, me, Jordan, and Charles, we talked a lot. You know, we were discussing because, you know, other teams would be asking about one another. And, you know, we got each other's back throughout the whole way. So, we have so much love for each other, so much love for Coach Beilein, so much love for the program. It's just, you know, it's a lot of fun being here, though.
What workouts have you done with on-site with other teams?
I haven't done any yet.
Do you have any scheduled right now?
Yeah, I have Detroit. This is my first one right after this on the 20th. And then I've got, I'm pretty sure, Utah set up as well. But I have to just talk to my agents about, you know, what other ones I have.
Have you officially closed the book on heading back to Michigan, or how's that process going?
You know, I'm definitely going to make an announcement soon about that, so stay tuned.
Sure.
Thank you.
What do you feel like you bring, just like day one NBA team?
I think I bring, you know, my confident self everywhere I go. I'm not going to shy away from any moment. Like I said before, I think I'm the best player on the court everywhere I step on, and that won't change. So, I think I could be an impact player, but I feel like, you know, I adapt very well. I'm an adaptive person, so whatever the team needs me to do, I will do 100%.
Obviously, like, guys play a bunch of positions. What position do teams like you at? Like, have you, what's kind of the sense you've got?
I think the versatility I possess is what makes me, you know, who I am. So they've asked me what I think. I said, you know, I think I see myself playing as a 3 in the NBA, but I think I'm quick enough to guard 2 to 4, and then I think I could play between those positions.
You meet with the Heat while you're here?
I did.
What do you think of how'd that go?
I love them. I love them a lot. They're great people. They're such an amazing franchise. They've done so much. So it was a good time in there. Definitely like them a lot.
Like to be in Miami.
I'd love to be in Miami. Who wouldn't?
Thanks to Iggy for that. Out in Chicago, your boy Matt breaking some news here on the Locked On Pistons podcast with Iggy Brzdeikis' visit to the Pistons today, and also basically him coming out and saying that he's not going to come back to Michigan is what I read from what he was saying there. Stay tuned is what he says. But the experts, Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, one of the guys that we reference a lot here on this podcast, he has Brzdeikis at 47 on his big board, and the only Michigan player of the three, including Charles Matthews and Jordan Poole, to be in his top 50, which is the only big board that he has released so far. And The Athletic's Sam Vecenie has Iggy Brzdeikis as 55 on his big board, but in his latest mock draft after the lottery, that is before the draft combine, Vecenie has Brzdeikis going 47 to the Kings. So 47 is a popular number for Brzdeikis right now. The confidence is obvious. The versatility is a strength for him as well. But there are questions about whether he has the foot speed for wing defense and a good shooter in college in his 1 year for John Beilein at Michigan, but doesn't really project to be a great shooter. He'll just kind of be a guy out there. He feels very much mid-second round to me, just like the other guys spotted him there. And it should be more of a typical mid-second round pick, not like last season's super deep draft where a guy like Bruce Brown could be had in the middle of the second round, more like a regular second round pick where these guys won't ever really be impact guys for the most part, save for maybe the two, maybe three complete anomalies that we see every year, even in bad second rounds. So think more Ricky Paulding than Bruce Brown here for some of these guys that we're going to be talking about as second round picks. That said, we will at some point during our draft coverage throw out some second round picks that I think could be possible diamonds in the rough going forward as well. But as you can probably tell already, I'm just not really that big on this draft class in particular, not really at all. I just want to get that out there right now. We're going to talk about it. We're going to give it the same coverage as if it was a regular draft, but just kind of keep that in mind as you digest the content that I throw out there here over the next few weeks. I am really not high on this draft at all. But let me know what you guys think. Look at some for some feedback from you guys. If you watch the Combine, if there's some of these college prospects that you feel like you got a handle on, good or bad, or some of these Michigan guys, if you think that Iggy Brazdeikis has a real nice future in the league, let me know what you think. But remember, to get this show every day, go ahead and subscribe to the Locked On Pistons podcast on the new Himalaya podcasting app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Next, we're going to talk about six players that are first-rounders and maybe right around the area the Pistons are going to be drafting, but six players that they will not be drafting. That's next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Today's show is brought to you by Grip 6, where their goal is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, grandpas, podcast hosts, and even moms and wives. See our women's collection. Ultra lightweight with no holes, no flaps, and it carries a low profile with the buckle laying flat against the waist, making the belt super comfortable. Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flap, and no bulk. Grip 6 has a special offer for you at Grip 6. That's the number 6. Grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E. I have a Grip 6 belt, and I'm not too ashamed to admit that I wear it all the time. So get yourself a Grip 6 belt. Perfect gift for the functional dad in your life, or you're just your dad. I don't know why I said functional dad. It must be very late on Sunday night and your boy must be tired. But got some draft content coming out. I'm going to give you a taste of it right now. But first, we'll introduce what's coming up. I'm working on my Pistons top 15 big board. So I'm going to cover all our bases. This isn't my big board, but this is what my big board would be if I were Ed Stefanski, if I were in charge of making the Pistons draft pick. So what the Pistons big board should be. I'll give you a little bit of a spoiler on it so far. Number one is going to be Zion Williamson. Number two is going to be Ja Morant. So if the Pistons had the first pick, here's who they would pick. If the Pistons had the second pick, here's who they would pick. So as you go on, you can go through draft night and cross off the people who are already picked. And there will be 15. So if all those 14 people go in the first 14 slots, then you'll have your answer of who I think the Pistons should pick at 15. So simple as that. That's something that I'm going to release on social media, Twitter and Facebook, a little bit later on this week, working on it this week as we kind of get going. But for now, in addition to that, and this is something that I'm kind of cooking up in my head, I have a bit of a surprise as to what I would do on draft night if I were the Pistons. Not something you would traditionally hear from me, especially talking about Detroit sports teams and drafting. But coming up on the podcast, we're going to have profiles of 13 players that the Pistons might draft. One of them is probably wishful thinking, but I'm not willing to drop him off this list quite yet. So the goal as of now, and again, we've only got a month till draft day, but the goal as of now is to take these 13 players and do profiles on each of them leading up to the draft. By profiles, it might be just sound bites of them from the combine. We might have interviews of people that covered them during their college career, maybe some folks who know them a little bit, or it might just be me digging up some stuff on the internet, going through some YouTube clips, and talking about them there. So some meaningful content about each of the 13 players is the goal. But before we get to that, I'm going to talk about a few of the players that I don't have and won't be including. As of now, this is all a little bit malleable. We know that with the draft approaching, some things could change, and I could be moving some things around as time goes on. But as of right now, and I think I'm going to stay true to these ones, but here are six guys that are you know, not the elite of the elite. So not you're not going to find Zion or Ja on this list. It's understood, of course, that the Pistons won't be drafting those guys at 15. But here's six guys that are pretty much thought of as early second round at worst, but probably first round picks that the Pistons will not draft and should not draft. So first we'll start with three guys that are probably are not going to Pistons aren't going to draft because they either probably won't fall to them at 15 or they may not be at a position of need for the Pistons or maybe kind of a combination of both. They probably won't fall and they really aren't in a position of need. The first one is Cam Reddish of Duke. I don't think that he is going to fall to the Pistons. I think it might be a nice pickup if he is to, but he's going to be on my big board for the Pistons ahead of 15. But like I said, not going to fall. The second one is mostly a position because of his position, but probably won't fall also. But even if he does, I don't think he's going to make my top 15 big board for the Pistons, and that's Texas center Jaxson Hayes. Just don't see the Pistons taking a center in this number 15 pick. Another guy is a guy who I think that will be on my big board as a player the Pistons should pick, but again, probably won't fall. A guy that's rising up the draft boards, and that is Coby White of North Carolina. And again, of course, the Darius Garlands, the Jarrett Culvers, the DeAndre Hunters are kind of understood to also be guys that the Pistons won't be drafting because they will already be gone. Now, three guys, in addition to those first three I gave you, in Cam Reddish, Jaxson Hayes, and Coby White, three guys that could be available for the Pistons that I don't think they should take and don't believe that they will take. The first one is going to be Grant Williams of Tennessee, a wide body, crafty scorer in college, kind of a nice, mature game that he has, but not a lot of explosion. I watched him during the five-on-fives during the combine. I'm not seeing a lot of ways that this guy is going to be any kind of impact scorer in the NBA. And you know who he reminds me of? And a bigger version and probably a less effective version in the NBA is Denzel Valentine of Michigan State with the Chicago Bulls. I know his injuries have been a large part of the problem with Denzel, but just not a lot of upside as far as an NBA player. Way too safe of a pick for a team to be making in the middle of the first round like the Bulls did with Valentine. I don't like Grant Williams on a medium, an average to below average team. Now, if you're the Spurs and you want a ninth man to kind of circumvent what is or to add to already a pretty good roster, you might consider him there. But I don't like Grant Williams for the Pistons. Number two, I'm going to go with Bol Bol. Too much of a risk. Too skinny. A little bit of duplication with Thon Maker. The injury is an issue with him. We don't know when he's going to be able to get on the court. The Pistons aren't going to be able to work him out or see him in any meaningful way. He might be available. Bol Bol might be available for the Pistons at 15. I'm going to say no. I say they don't do it. They want more immediate help than that. They believe that they're a playoff team that could move up a little bit in the Eastern Conference, and I'm just not seeing Bol Bol coming to the Pistons. Now, a guy who plays in a position that's kind of what they need, but more of a shooting guard than a small forward, so not really kind of that glut of small wings that the Pistons already have, is part of the reason why he's on this list. But along those lines of a wing type of player that the Pistons might be looking at, but here's one that I don't think they're going to take, and that's Talon Horton Tucker of Iowa State. Not a great shooter or a defender. I didn't like what I saw from him in the NCAA tournament for the Cyclones. Kind of disappeared in that game that they had. And again, not great shooter, not a great defender. Kind of the opposite of a 3-and-D in a lot of ways. Don't really see a lot of projection for him becoming a very good shooter as well. So a guy who's getting some late first-round buzz that I don't see moving up to the Pistons at number 15. But like I said, I made a list of 13 guys that I think the Pistons could take a look at and draft with the 15th pick in the draft. We're going to profile those guys as time goes on leading up to the June 20th draft. So, again, I want to say thanks so much to our sponsors. Again, that's Hotels.com, the website that you've got to use to book your vacations. Untuck It, a couple of great Father's Day gifts here, including the Untuck It shirts. You know you don't like tucking that shirt in. I don't either. Look relaxed, look better. Have shirts that are designed for that look at Untuck It. And the Grip 6 belt, one that I bought a long time ago. Really enjoy my Grip 6 belt and really think you guys should think about taking a look at those sponsors. Really do that for us. We appreciate that. For Untuck It, go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA for 20% off there. And then for Grip 6 belts, go to grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E, just for that one. So L-O-C-K-E, like founder of the Locked On Podcast Network, David Locke, L-O-C-K-E, grip6.com/L-O-C-K-E. So that's it from your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with a light week on the podcast last week. Appreciate you guys doing the understanding there. We will have the contest coming up soon. Draft talk, free agency talk after that, summer league talk after that. Excited for a big summer with you guys here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow.